We're getting close to completing chapter 36. And somebody sent me an answer to the Anakundundubi question. And I bet you'd like to know. It goes like this. Anakundundubi, or Vasudeva, when he was born, throughout his life he was known for, like Yudhisthira, always speaking the truth. So when he was born, there was a resounding sound in the air of drums and kettle drums, which is the meaning of Anaka and Dundubi, proclaiming a great personality has been born. Whoops. And so the name stuck. So along with his given name, Anaka and Dundubi, Vasudeva, he became known as Anakundundubi. Now, there we go. Question. Is there any correlation between his excuse me, I had to close my computer, so now I have to find where we left off. What was the text number? 38? 30. Huh? 30. 30. All right. Okay. There we go. He lied. Or he made a promise and he didn't keep his promise, which is like lying. Because the six sons, he gave his word, he kept his word. And the eighth son, he didn't keep his word. So did he go against his character, or did he violate Dharma? What do you think? Why not, if not? Now, what Krishna said was, take me to the other side of the river because I'm afraid of Kamsa. But Krishna didn't say lie. But the word was, I'll give you each of the children. Now Krishna instructed him. So what is it? Same with Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was instructed by Krishna to say, Ashwatthama is dead. So we uphold Dharma unless we're instructed by Krishna to do a higher Dharma, or whatever Krishna instructs, that's what Dharma is. That's how we understand. So now we're going to Chaitanya Bhagavat, in the section where in the childhood of Lord Nityananda, where is the place where Lord Nityananda was born and lived for some years, 12 years? Ekachakra. So in Ekachakra, Lord Nityananda is with all the other boys from the village, and he's instructing them how to perform Krishna's pastimes and Lord Ramachandra's pastimes. So that's this section. Another day, one boy dressed as a Krura and took Krishna and Balaram to Krishna's capital, to Kamsa's capital. And this is now Bhaktisiddhanta's commentary. Regarding Akura bringing Balaram and Krishna to Mathura on the order of Kamsa, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 36, Text 30 and 37, states, quote, please go to Ananda's village where the two sons of Anakundundubi are living, and without delay bring them here on this chariot. Now that you understand my intentions, please go at once and bring Krishna and Balaram to watch the bow sacrifice and see the opulence of the Yadu's capital. And in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:38, the first verse of that chapter, after passing the night in the city of Mathura, the high-minded Akura mounted his chariot and set off for the cowherd village of Nanda Maharaj. Text 31 of this chapter 36. The demigods, this is now Kamsa, the demigods who are under the protection of Vishnu have sent these two boys as my death. Bring them here, and also have Nanda and the other cowherd men come with gifts of tribute. Vishwanath writes, my death, parentheses, the two boys, has been created inescapably by the devatas who take shelter of Vishnu. Jiva Goswami writes, he states the purpose in two verses. This is the first of the two. Quote, of the two, one will kill me. What can I do? Since death, one of them, has been sent by the devatas protected by Vishnu. Bring both of them, since the effort is the same. In order to make Akura go, Kamsa hides the fact that the two are actually non-different from Vishnu. Kamsa says also bring Nanda and others. Kamsa feared that they would not come unprotected. His hidden evil intention was also to cause problems for Nanda and the rest. They should also bring ghee and yogurt in this way. They would believe that the sacrifice for the bow would actually take place. Text 32. After you bring Krishna and Balaram, I will have them killed by my elephant, who is as powerful as death itself. And if by chance they escape from him, I will have them killed by my wrestlers, who are as strong as lightning. Vishwanath writes, they will be killed by the wrestlers who are like thunderbolts. Vaidyuta. Strong like lightning or like lightning bolts. Thunderbolts. Jiva Goswami, what is the purpose in bringing them? I will have them killed. If they escape the elephant, then I'll have them killed by the wrestlers. But there's another meaning that's like translating the words of Kamsa differently. If you bring them to Mathura, I will have them enter by the gate, which will increase their enthusiasm for defeating me. And we'll have them enter into the arena with the elephant, which is death for my wrestlers and me. For my liberation, Muktau, I will have them approach me with the wrestlers at the gate, who are like the devatas who accompany one during the gradual stages of liberation. And Sanatan Goswami, short commentary. What is the purpose in bringing them? I will have them killed by my elephant, powerful as death. Death cannot be avoided for them. They will not escape, but if they do, then I will have my wrestlers kill them. The comparison with lightning indicates that their death could not be avoided. Text 33. When these two have been killed, I will kill Vasudeva and all their lamenting relatives, the Vrishnis, Bhojas, and Dasharhas. Very calculating fellow. Purport. Even today, there are wicked political leaders throughout the world who make such plans and even carry them out. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. When these two boys are killed, Vasudeva, the Vrishnis, and their friends of the Bhoja and Dasara dynasties will become weak. Jiva Goswami writes, quote, you will get trouble from his friends. Kamsa responds in two verses, I will kill his friends, such as Vasudeva. Well, why do you not kill them before killing the two boys? Kamsa, they will be in a state of lamentation after the two are killed. This shows Kamsa's great anger. The other meaning is, no, having approached the two for my liberation, I will also approach his friends, since they are faithful to him. And text 34, I will also kill my old father Ugrasena, who is greedy for my kingdom, and I will kill his brother Devaka and all my other enemies as well. Vishwanath, I will also kill all my enemies. Jiva, I will also kill all others who side with them. Sanatana Goswami, I will also kill my old father greedy for the kingdom and all others who side with them. Text 35. Then, it's a really short verse, just two lines. Then, my friend, this earth will be free of thorns. And Akura says, but I am Bhoja also. Am I not their friends? Kamsa, no, you are my friend. You are my benefactor. I will give you part of my kingdom to you. Right. Text 36. My elder relative Jarasandha, remember? Jarasandha is the father-in-law. The two wives of Kamsa are his daughters. So Jarasandha is elder. And my dear friend Dvidvida are solid well-wishers of mine, as are Shambhara, Naraka, and Bana. I will use them all to kill off those kings who are allied with the demigods, and then I will rule the earth. Vishwanath, how will the world be without thorns if Jarasandha and others are present? Jarasandha is my elder, my father-in-law, or guru, Sva, Sura. Jiva Goswami, I will kill all those who side with the Devatas, such as the Kauravas. Then I will rule the earth. There is another meaning, however. I will enjoy the earth in my state of liberation, since liberation includes all enjoyment, figuratively. And the final, Sanatana Goswami, Dvidvida is also my dear friend. He is particularly mentioned because of his great courage. The kings he will kill are the Pandavas and the kings of Matsya and Paschala or Panchala. Yeah. So we've just been introduced to Kamsa and his diabolical plan. Now we have a clear idea why the devatas wanted him removed and Krishna wanted to remove him, why Narada did what Narada did to bring about the removal. I mean, stepping on a snake activates the snake, but a snake is a snake. And this person is, we heard, he's really powerful. You know, he's not just prattling. He's really powerful. He is like Ravana. He subjugated so many persons. Now Ravana was able to travel throughout the universe, and Kamsa sees Vishnu as the enemy because he's been told, and he understands that Vishnu killed him in his previous life. So Vishnu is my enemy, and the devatas are taking shelter of Vishnu, so they're my enemy. And anybody aligned with the devatas, they're my enemy. Friends and enemies. It's classic. Demoniac mentality. And demoniac, a root of the demoniac mentality is turning away from Krishna. And when you turn away from Krishna, what do you see? You see shadow. Turn away from light, you see shadow. And then that shadow, it's dark, and these are my friends and these are my enemies. It just goes, I'm this body and these are people that help my sense pleasures, and those that interfere with my sense pleasures, friends and enemies. It's classic. We heard this in Dhruva's narration, and we heard this in Prahlad's narration. We'll hear it over and over again. And we should avoid that mentality. What about when somebody's cruel? Or something? Or harsh? Or mean? Or they're coming after you? Sometimes that happens. Or someone dear to you, and they're going after someone dear to you. Because it happens. Well, specifically when it comes to you, there's a protocol. And when it happens to someone else, there's a protocol. I mean, we turn to Krishna. But you don't turn to Krishna if you're thinking, karta aham, I'm going to be the protector of somebody. And so if you're a kshatriya, that's fine. And if you're not a kshatriya, how are you going to... So we may make practical steps, but ultimately those practical steps are to be aligned with doing something in a manner that's pleasing to Krishna. Sometimes a strong response is required. A nice example that comes to mind is when the deprogramming era was going on, kind of faded, but when it was going on in New York, there were two devotees that were simultaneously over here and over there, taken away by Ted Patrick's people, and both of them escaped, and then they contacted the temple, and the temple, and the advice from the temple, the GBC at the time, was go to the district attorney and lodge a complaint, file an illegal action, you've been kidnapped. It's a crime. So the district attorney turned around and said, the Hare Krishna people kidnapped these two. And when Prabhupada heard, he was on fire. He was a fighter. So he didn't say, oh, Krishna will protect, you know, he was speaking really strong things. And everything will rest, his conviction is everything will rest on Srimad Bhagavatam. And there were details. You just let them, whatever, let them understand what is really going on and what really happened, what's really going on with these two and what's really going on with the persons who took with these two away. And it didn't end up that the people that did the kidnapping got a lawsuit for kidnapping. It just got, the whole thing got reversed. But I'm making the point, Prabhupada was fire. Really intense. I mean, he said some really strong things. And I wasn't involved directly with what Prabhupada was saying to those that were in the higher circles. I was involved with the lives of these two devotees. But he was, you know, it's in that the Hare Krishna movie, those of you that saw, and Amarendra's narrating what that was like. It was intense. So he was a fighter. Wasn't a pacifist. So what to do when something happens in relation to others, it takes discernment to know what to do. But ultimately, anything that's going to happen to somebody that's an aggressor, they need to be dealt with. Listening to another the Acharya series, part 5, and I think it was in Melbourne, somebody came from the social welfare department, and you know, the social welfare people want to see that people in need are taken care of. And so the social welfare person asked a question. Supposing somebody came to your temple and was hungry and started stealing some food. And Prabhupada was really strong. He said, a thief is to be punished. Well, what if it was one of your own people? A thief is to be punished. If it's our own people, the thief is to be punished. A thief is to be punished. Like he was, you know, leaning forward in strong voice. Then his answer was, people should be fed voluntarily. They don't have to come and steal. But, you know, social welfare department person, by the thousands, let them come. We will feed them. But they shouldn't steal. So standing on, so different circumstances require different responses. But ultimately, to do anything, it's that Krishna is to be pleased and thieves are to be punished and hungry people are to be fed. Now, easier said than done, you know, social welfare people have their hands full. And, you know, today's situation, it's chaos. Without going into anecdotal chaos examples. It's chaos. So, good governance starts with acting on behalf of Krishna. If one takes strong action, it's on behalf of Krishna, not I've got strong arms and so look out, here I come. But it's on behalf of Krishna only. There are some matters, this is kind of like a sociology point. There's some matters that's really not for us to deal with. It's for government authorities to deal with, the discipline, enforcement of the law kinds of matters. And, you know, we need to take action in certain cases. And some cases we take action in our own way. In some cases we just go to the government agencies to take action because it's their business. They have the authority, they have the mechanism, they have the financial resource. Okay, so back to, you know, the dvanyak nature. He just is exemplifying what's in the divine and demoniac nature chapter. You know, the end game is he'll rule the earth. And I'll eliminate those who are opposing me. And so the opposing me, you know, starts with Vishnu and the demigods and those that are agents of the demigods, and you know, I've got my friends and there's my enemies, and I'm going to knock them out. And a powerful person. So Krishna removed him, and the demigods were pleased, and everyone was pleased. The demon friends weren't pleased, and they wanted to take revenge, which was expected. And that was one of the reasons why Krishna needed to remain at Mathura, to give protection to the Yadu dynasty and the Vrishnis and Dasarhas, etc. Because people would take revenge. That's the material way. Let's see if there's some discussion.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Just a couple of questions. Like Kamsa was inviting Krishna and Balaram to Mathura on the pretext of this sacrifice, bow sacrifice. I was just wondering, what is this bow sacrifice?
It's one of the first things that Krishna did when he got to Mathura. He went to the place where the bow was, he picked it up and broke it. So it's some celebrated bow. I forget the history of the celebrated bow, but it was in Kamsa's care. You know, it's lila similar to, yeah. But it's, you know, the context is different because the story is different. But it's a celebrated bow, and Krishna. It was the competition who could string the bow, and Krishna broke the bow.
Other question is, Akrura knew of Kamsa's intentions.
Yes, he did.
When he went, did he disclose that to Krishna and Balaram when he was?
It's not in the Bhagavatam that you disclose. He just was passing on, I'm taking you there, you got an invitation. I mean, he knew that Krishna is all powerful, so he had no worries.
I was also thinking, like, you know, this kind of, not exactly same, but similar situations happen in our lives too. Like, there is a certain thing that somebody asks you to do and you know it is not right. In those situations, what do we do? Like, I am not in a position to fight back with that person.
Well, you don't have to do something. You're not obliged to do something that you know is not right. We have conscience. If something is not right, you don't do it. And if you're not clear, then you ask. I mean, there's some etiquette rules, depends on what's being asked of you to do. There's a superior. And when the superior asks you to do something, you oblige. Because they're the superior. And there's some things that just, some lines you're not going to cross. Depends.
Okay. And last thing is, you know, Jaya and Vijaya took three births, right? Like Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, and those three lives. Somehow it appears to me that they were like really strong sinful tendencies in the first one, and then maybe in the second one. In the third one, where Shishupala and then Dantavakra, we don't see so much sinful tendency.
Our acharyas speak about Shishupala more than Dantavakra. And with Shishupala, a commentary says he actually understood he was the personality of Godhead, but he was envious. Hmm. Which is, you know, a weird combination, but
I mean, like how Ravana was, it seems, based on Kamsa's intentions, that actually Kamsa was somewhat like that in Krishna's Leela.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yes, what you're saying is correct. Now, how it came to be that from Ravana, now Shishupal is accepting Krishna as the personality of Godhead. No explanation that I'm just repeating what I read, what our acharyas say. But he was inimical, like big time inimical.
Do we also understand maybe like because Krishna killed them in the previous births, maybe they got purified a little bit or something?
He definitely got purified from his reactions to his sins, but not from sinful tendency. You have something?
Maharaj, my question is, when do you check an aggressor?
When do you what?
When do you check an aggressor? Because there are too many of them and it's not going to be possible to check all of them.
Yeah, so you depends on you. We have to know our strength, and we have to know when it's most appropriate to be tolerant, and when it's most appropriate to check. It depends on us and our intelligence and our strength. It's circumstance specific, not cookie cutter. I mean, there are some things that you, if they're harming a child, or harming, you know, a woman, or harming an old person, or harming a cow, you have to do something. But what, you know, what you're capable of doing is, you know, maybe it's call 911, but, you know, you have to do something. But, you know, the other things, you have options to choose from. Depends on you and your strength, your capacity, your nature, the circumstance.
We have one online question.
Okay.
This one is from Sridhar Das Prabhu, and he asks, Hare Krishna, dear Guru Maharaj, you were mentioning that Srila Prabhupada became like fire in fighting the deprogrammers who accused ISKCON. Sometimes I see blasphemous comments by people on the internet criticizing the organization or people due to either interests not being satisfied or philosophy or whatever. So is it worth the time in engaging to counter their comments and conversations and protecting the correct image of our Krishna conscious society?
generally speaking, engaging with those people is like pouring gasoline on a fire. Because they want attention, and you're giving them attention. I would recommend instead to put out, you know, just delete that person's contact information, or Facebook, or whatever, or the person that's in charge of a Facebook, contact them and say, delete this person, or whatever. And otherwise, and they may not want to do it, but, you know, put out positive. Dysfunctionality is eclipsed by functionality. But, you know, there are people, the social media and internet, etc., it's just romper room for demons. It's, you know, they have a lot of time and a lot of fingers. And so, you know, we have important things to do and they don't. So,
Another question popped up from Claire Reed Mataji. And
leave out the, you know, Guru Maharaj and thank you for the nice class and all that stuff.
Kamsa was Krishna conscious unfavorably.
Yes.
And some scientists are not aware of God's existence, but they act in a way of trying to go against God. Is that Krishna consciousness in an unfavorable way as well?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Kamsa was more focused in his unfavorableness, and they're less focused, but same. Okay.
I had a question. So, you know, Kamsa was talking about like, conquering the Kurus and but like, wouldn't the he talked about the Pandavas as well, but wouldn't the Pandavas be the same age as like Krishna, like 10?
Yeah. Yeah.
So like they were at that point in time, they already had like
they were known. He, you know, Hastinapur and Mathura are not such a big distance apart.